Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Lamed Tes, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Shor Shel Pikeach, if the shor of a regular person, Shenogach Shor Shel Cheres Shoyt V'Katan, kill the shor of a Cheres Shoyt V'Katan, Chayiv. Cheres, the Rishonim explain, is someone who's a deaf-mute. Throughout Halacha, Cheres means a deaf-mute, who's considered an individual who doesn't have das. If, however, he's only deaf, then he's considered a bar das. Furthermore, most Rishonim hold that if he was not born a deaf mute, he, Rachman Tzlan, only became a deaf mute later in life, even though now he's a deaf mute, he's still considered a bar das. Interestingly to note, the Aruch HaShulchan and many other Paiskim use this Mishnah to teach us an important halacha l'maisa. As we have been discussing over the last couple of days, the Torah, when it speaks about the nezek of shor, the Torah uses the word kiyigach shor is shor re'ehu, that the requirement be re'ehu. And our Mishnah is teaching us that a cheres shoyt v'katan fall into that category. The question that comes up is by shalchmanis. The halacha is we have to send shalchmanis ish l're'ehu, as it says in the Megillah. So can you be mekayim the mitzvah with sending shalchmanis to a child? And many paiskim, based on our Mishnah, starting with Aruch HaShulchan, say yes, our Mishnah clearly puts a child into the category of Re'eyu and you're Mekayim the Mitzvah. However, sending Shalchmanas to a non-Jew, you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah, because as we've been learning in the previous Shiurim, Goyim are not in the category of Re'eyu. The Rishonim already ask, what is the Mishnah teaching us with this thing? Obviously, why should the Shor of a child, of a Chayr Shaita, should be treated differently? So many Rishonim say, because we're going to learn the flip side in a moment, so the Mishnah teaches us this thing, even though there's no Chiddush. Another answer that I saw that the Rishonim suggest is because the Mazik could perhaps argue, you know why this person's shor was damaged, was killed? Because he's a cher shayt of a katan, and he isn't able to properly watch them. It teaches us the Mishnah, we don't accept that. And if somebody's shor was Mazik, the shor of a cheres shoyt v'katan is chayiv. The Chazon Yechezkel of Cheskel Abramsky has another interesting pshat. We've learned, and we'll learn in Mitzvah Hashem, a situation that, let's say, and that's probably the more frequent situation, that the shor of the mazik and the shor of the nizik do damage to each other. So we first have to deduct what happened, and then the extra, the meiser, the mazik pays to the nizik. So what would be the halacha if not only did the shor of the mazik do damage to the shor of one of these individuals, but his shor also did damage to the mazik? Do we take that into consideration? Teaches us the Mishnah that we don't take into consideration. However, continues the Mishnah, shel cheres shoyt v'katan shenogach shor shel pikeach, the halacha is, then it's potter. And we're going to spend a lot of time in the shiur in Mitzvah Shem explaining this halacha. Continues the Mishnah, shor shel cheres shoyt v'katan shenogach, if the shor has this habit, bezdin mamidin lam apotropis, bezdin appoint an apotropis, or meidin lam b'fnei apotropis, and it becomes a mu'ud in front of the apotropis. Throughout halacha, we discuss very many times an apotropis. Some rishonim suggest that the concept of apotropis we already find in the Torah. Eliezer was the apotropis by Avram Avinu. The Mesek Eliezer, Rashi says, Doilu Mashka, he was the administrator. However, most Paiskim say that this concept of apotropis is midrabonim. Says the Mishnah, Nispakech HaCheresh, if the Cheresh Baruch Hashem gets better, Nishtafa HaShoyta, the Shoyta gets better, Higdal HaKotten, the cotton becomes a gobble, Chazal Tamusai, the animal goes back to its original state of being a Tam, Divrei Rameya. Two explanations of Rameya, we're going to explain them more in the Gemara. One is the concept of Rishus Mishana. Since it went from the apotropis back to the cheres to these individuals, so it goes back to the status of being a tam. Another pshat is that the owner says to the apotropis, you didn't do a proper job of watching the animal, and that's why the animal became a mu'ud. But I will watch it properly, and therefore it should not be considered a mu'ud. If the animal is a mu'ud, the fact that it changes hands doesn't make a difference. It remains a mu'ud. Shor ha'atzdadin, Sharat Stadin is a shard that's trained to fight. It's like a bullfight. Eino chayiv misa. If it kills someone, it's not chayiv misa. Shneva kiyigach, an animal that goes on its own and kills someone, v'lo sheichu, not that he was trained to kill. There are a number of interesting machloikasin around the Sharat Stadin. One shayla that the Rishonim already debate is when the Mishnah exempts a Sharat Stadin, is it only during a bullfight, for example? What would be the halacha if a Sharat Stadin kills someone not during a bullfight? Is it still potter or not? Another machloikas is our Mishnah clearly says, we're going to learn that if a shor kills, the shor kills somebody, it gets killed. That, so our Mishnah says a shor tzadin is excluded from that din. But what's the din regarding the zokin? If a shor tzadin does damage, is it chayiv to pay nezek or not? So there's a number of opinions in the Rishonim. One opinion that the Rishonim cite is a shor tzadin is potter from everything. Another opinion is that it's only potter from misa, but it's chayiv nezek and kaifer. The third opinion is that it's potter from Misa and potter from Kaifer, but chayiv to pay Nezek. Interesting to note, I saw from Rav Avadya Yosef in the Shalos of Tshuva Sichav Das that he discusses this issue of a bullfight or animals fighting. Is it permissible, is it proper for a Jew to attend such an event? And he says very strongly that it's very improper. There's Tzar Bal Chaim involved. It's not the Jewish way. Animals should fight with each other, that type of violence. And it's improper, usur, for a Jew to participate, even as a spectator, obviously, in any such event. He does say that doesn't have anything to do with going to the zoo. To the zoo you're allowed to go, to see all the wonderful creatures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that's obviously fine. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki yetzer lev ha'odom ra menu'urav. A person has a tendency to be ra. Explains the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. What does the Pasuk mean? The Pasuk means that we in ourselves, because we have, unfortunately, the yetzer hara in ourselves, are somewhat like the Sharet Stadin. Just like the Sharet Stadin was trained to do bad, the yetzer hara drives us to do an avera. And that's part of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands why we do Averis. Ask the Gemara. Hagu Fakasha. We need to understand the Mishnah. Amrit. The Mishnah began by saying, Shor Shal Cher Shoyt V'Kotten, Shinogach Shor Shal Pikeach, Potter. We're not going to treat him and have to pay him as a Tam Chatzi Nezek. Obviously our Mishnah holds, Eim Amidim Apotropis Latam Ligweis Megufoy. We don't appoint an apotropos to make a tam have to pay megufoy, because the halacha is a tam always pays megufoy. Why? So there are many different reasons given by the Rishonim. Rashi explains, a yasim, a cotton that we're talking about, chereshoyt v'cotton our Mishnah, even though his real estate is mortgaged to any debts or anything that he does, his metaltan on that. Where do you collect the payment for a tam from? The animal itself, megufoy. It's metaltlin, it's an animal. So metaltlin are not obligated. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos explains, since we find that the Torah is more lenient regarding a tam, only pays chatzi nezek, similarly the Torah will be more lenient that a chayr shayt v'katan don't have to pay. A third pshat, we discussed that chatzi nezek, machlokes tanoim, is a knas. Chereshat v'katan don't have to pay knas. Another pshat, going back to a pasuk that we quoted at the beginning of the year, the Torah, when it speaks about a tam, says ki yigach shor ish. The owner has to be an ish, not a chereshat v'katan. Similarly, the Torah says, when it describes what we should do with the tam, for who had the ball of? We have to warn the owner, you have this problem. These are chereshat v'katan. They're unable to accept this warning. And therefore, this mandama holds, Eima midim apotropos latam ligvos megufoy. But Eima seifoy. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah says, Shor shor chereshet v'katan shenagach, that's the mamidim apotropos. We do appoint apotropos, Adam Eden Lahem, and then what, under the care of the apotropis, it becomes a mu'at, or Eden Lahem b'fnei apotropis. So Alma, obviously our Mishnah holds, Mamidalam apotropis latam, ligvas magufoi. So what does the Mishnah hold? Answers the Gemara, Amarava Hochtani. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. When Huchsuku Nakonim, a Cherishite of Kotten have a shor, and the shor is Huchsuk to be a Nakon. Machlaikus Rishonim, what does Huchsuk Nakon mean? Some Rishonim mean that while under the ownership and control of the Cherishite of Kotten, this shor did damage three times, so it's Huchsuk to be a Nakon. So then, Mamidalam Apotropis, then Desdin appoints an Apotropis, or Me'idin Lamb of Napotropis, or Meshvina Lemud, we turn into a mood, the Chichad of a Nogach. So now, if while under the control of the Apotropis, it did damage three times, then Lishalim, Maliyah, you have to pay like you pay by a mood from the Aliyah. Other Rishonim, the Ravid says that for Besdin to have to appoint Apotropis, we don't have to wait for this animal while it was under the control of a Chereshoit of a cotton to do damage three times. If Besdin sees that the Chereshoit of a cotton has an animal that even did damage only once, but it has a propensity to doing damage, it's already enough for them to appoint an apotropis. The Rishonim ask, why doesn't the Gemara answer that the Mishnah is teaching us that the apotropis is not responsible for anything that happened before he became the apotropis? That's how we should understand the Mishnah. Say to Rishonim, that's obvious. To have to tell us that before he became the apotropis, he's not held responsible, I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out, and it's relevant, la'aloch l'maisa, it's only the shor of a chereshoit of a cotton that Besdin might appoint apotropis to take responsibility. But on the child itself, on the chereshoit of a cotton, we can't appoint apotropis. Because there's no apotropis that could really control an individual well enough to make sure that he won't do any damage. And in fact, that's the halacha. But the Paiskim now discuss, I saw Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses, if that's the din, so could Besdin allow that the funds of a yosem, that the apotropis, the administrator, could spend the funds of a yosem for psychiatry or other therapy that a child should need to make him into a mensch? So he says, certainly that you are allowed to. Because even though the apotropis can't take responsibility for what this person does, they do have the responsibility to try to make the person as much of a mensch as they can. And if the person needs, if the chereshoit of a cotton need certain treatments, certainly the apotropis is allowed to use their funds for that purpose. So now ask the Gemara. We had a situation, whatever the situation should not be, that we appointed apotropis over the shor, and now the shor became a mu'ud, and he has to pay like a mu'ud pays, always. The question is, whose funds do we use for that payment? Melias man, whose funds are used? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Melias Yosemim, the Yosemim's funds. Rabbi Yosef Bechanin Amar Melias apotropis funds. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan say that we use the funds of the Yosem? And again, the Rishonim help us understand the Gemara, that the Gemara is referring not to a situation that they did damage while the Yosem owned it. Certainly then we would use the Yosem's funds. Here we're talking about a case that it did damage while it was still under the control of the father. Others say it doesn't make a difference. Ask the Gemara, Barab Yehuda Meravasi, Ein Eskakon L'Nechse Yisayman, we never use Yosem funds, Elm Ken Ribbis Achelspan, which means like this. A Yosem inherited a debt that his father owes, and it's a debt that there was interest attached. So that debt keeps on depleting the Yosem's money because it keeps the people on paying interest. So even though normally apotropis doesn't take Yosem's funds, here where it's to the benefit of the Yosem to pay off the debt and not have interest eat it up, the apotropis uses it. Another example, Rav Yochanan Amar, Oy L'shtash Yesh Beribis, as we just explained, Oy L'ksubis Isha Mishim Ezoinim. As we learned in Masechta Ksubis, a husband dies, until his estate pays out the ksuba, the estate has to support the wife. Again, it depletes the estate. There, even though he's a yasim, he's a katan, we pay off the ksuba, given the circumstances that we discussed in Masechta Ksubis, in order that his estate should not get depleted. However, what is the Gemara saying? What is Rabbi Yochanan saying? Those are the only circumstances that we use the yasim's funds to pay off a debt. No other circumstance. So how, asked the Gemara, can we say that Rabbi Yochanan holds that we use the Yasim's fund to pay off the Murid's damages? We never use the Yasim's fund. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Epech. And we have to reverse the positions. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says, Melias Apotropsin, we use the Apotropos fund. And Rabbi Yochanan Bechanin Omar, Melias Yisoyim. Ask the Gemara, Omar Rava, what's going on here? Shum the Tasha de Rabbi Yochanan de Rabbi Yochanan. Yes, we have a problem. We have a stira, we have a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. But because we have that problem, Mashvis Leila Rabbi Yosef Bechanina Toya, so you're going to attribute an opinion to Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, which is incorrect? You can't do that to Rabbi Yosef Bechanina. But Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, who was Rabbi Yosef Bechanina? Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, the Yonahu, he was a very prominent Dayan. The Nochus Lum Kadadina. He wouldn't say something wrong. So just to protect Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to attribute to Rabbi Yosef Bechanina an incorrect position? Says the Gemara, Elayim Loi Tepek. We go back to the original opinion. The Rabbi Yochanan says, we do use the Yosaimim's funds. Rabbi Yochanan's the Mandam says that we never do that. Here it's different. Mazik Shani. We're worried about this animal being a Mazik. And therefore, we doubt. And the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Melias Yosaimim, we use the Yosaimim's funds because the Amrit Melias Apotropos, if we're going to say that we use the Apotropos funds, the aloch is, Mimni V'layavdi. The concern is that no one, Mimni V'layavdi, no one will ever agree to be an Apotropos. I have to use my funds for his animal's damages, and therefore no one will agree. And as the Meiri points out, a number of points that the Rishonim make, as the Meiri points out, the Bezdin can never force anybody to be an apotropos. So this individual will never agree to be an apotropos. Furthermore, point out the Rishonim, even though the Gemara, it seems that the Gemara holds that people were willing to accept upon themselves the position of being an apotropos, because it really involves a lot of honor. Because Bezdin is saying, we trust you to be the administrator of the funds of the assignment. So isn't that a reason that somebody will be, that we shouldn't worry that people will agree to be an apotropos? Explain the Rishonim. If you have Nebuch, Yosaimim, and somebody has to be appointed to be the administrator of their estate, so it's a great honor that Bezdin trusts you for that job. Why is he the apotropos here? He's the apotropos of a shor. He's the apotropos of an animal. There's no great covet and being an apotropos over an animal. And people, if then also it puts him at risk that he's going to have to pay, nobody will agree. Rabbi Yosef Bechanin Amar, Melias Apotropos. Why are we not worried that nobody's going to want to take the job? Because there's no problem. Because the Chayzim and the Freyim, the Yosaimim, the Apotropos is only going to have to lay out the money while the Yosaimim. L'chigadli, when they become adults, they'll have to pay him back, so it doesn't bother him. So therefore, the Rishonim say, even according to Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, that says a person will take this position because he'll get paid back eventually, that's only by a katan. Because every katan, eventually, Mitzvah Shem will become a gadol when he's bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. But what about a cherish? What about a shaita? We have no guarantee that they'll ever get better. There, say the Rishonim, that Rabbi Yosef Bechanina will agree that the money is taken out of the fund of the cherish and shaita. Otherwise, nobody will ever agree to be an apotropos. Another interesting machlokes Rishonim is what will be the halacha that the animal did damage because the apotropos did not do his job properly. He didn't do his job properly. He was posheya. And therefore the animal went out and did damage. Can we go collect the money from the yasim? Many Rishonim say, of course not. The apotropos was negligent and the yasim should have to pay. Others say that even if the apotropos was negligent, the yasim would have to pay. Again, for the same concern, because otherwise nobody will ever be apotropos, because being apotropos is only a gamble I take that it's going to cost me a lot of money. Says the Gemara, this concept that we began the Gemara with, of Mamidin Lam Apotropos Lutam Ligvas Megufay, do we appoint Apotropos for the Tam of Yisoymim to collect Megufay, suggests the Gemara Tanayhi. It's actually a Machloikas Tanon, the Tanya. The Braisa says, Shar Shinishchar Shabalav, you have a Shar that owner became a Cheresh, or Shinishtat Shabalav, the owner became Achman and Solon Shaita, or Shahochu Baalav Nubdina Siyom, and when the owner is not here, he's no different than a Cheresh Shaita. Yehuda ben Nekusa Omer, Simchis, Harei B'tamusoi, it remains a Tam, Achi Yidu B'fnei Baalam, until the it becomes a mood in front of the owner. The Chom Omer, Mamidan Am Apotropin, we appoint Apotropis, or Me'idim Am B'fnei Apotropin, and if the Apotropis are properly warned, then it has the din of a mood. Continues the Braisa. Nispakech HaCheresh, the Cheresh gets well. Nishtefa HaShoita. Higdal HaKotin. Or Bo Baal Medinas HaYoyim. Yehuda ben Nekusa Omer Simchas, Chozor Tamusay, now it reverts back to its state of being a tam, Ach Yidba B'fnei Baalim. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Harei B'chuskosai, it became a mood, it remains a mood. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa, in the name of Simchas, made a statement. Harei Hu B'tamusa. Amri, my Harei B'tamusa. What does Simchas mean when he makes that statement? Mayu B'tamusa become a Simchas. Ilema D'loy Miyad Klal. Does he mean to say that this animal can never become a mu'ud? That's not true. Haminatani Sefer, what was the second case of the Braisa? Chazal Tamusai. There was a debate, and Simchas says that the animal can go back, can revert back to being a tam. Mechladi Yad. It's a proof that the Reish, that Simchas holds that it can become a mu'ud. Alamai Harei B'Tamusai. What does Harei B'Tamusai mean? Harei B'Tamimusai. Dorem Chasrunalei. It remains tamim. You don't deplete its value. Why? Because Alma, obviously Simchas is of the opinion, that Eim Amidin Apotropos L'tam Ligros Megufay. You don't appoint a apotropos to make a Yosem pay out of the tam for damages it did. The Chachamim, I mean, the Chachamim obviously disagree, and they hold, Mamidin Ram Apotropos, or Midin Ram Bifnei Apotropos. Alma, obviously the opinion of the Chachamim is, that Mamidin Apotropos L'tam Ligros Megufay. That's the Machloikas. So now the Gemara has proven that the Machloikas of Simchas and the Chachamim is what the concept that we began with. Do we appoint the Apotropos to pay out of the Tam's value for damages it did as a Tam? Simchas says we don't, the Chachamim say we do. What is the Machloikas in the Sefer? Well, the Sefer says that now if the cotton becomes a gadol or the other cases, does it become a Tam again or not? What is the Machloikas in the Sefer? The Sefer Maimonides, the Sefer they're arguing over the concept that we mentioned in the Mishnah, Rishus Mishanik Benayu. Does change of ownership change the status of the animal? Simchas Sover, Simchas holds, Rishus Mishana, it does. Rabbi Yossi Sover, Rishus Mishana, it doesn't. What is the reason for Rishus Mishana? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is fairly simple. The owner, the new owner, says, I could do a better job than the previous owner. And therefore, the previous owner didn't properly, adequately watch this animal. And that's why it became a mu'ud. I'll watch it properly, and that's why it should not be considered a mu'ud. Another pshat, we discussed this as recently as yesterday, is every person has a mazel. And my mazel is different than your mazel. And therefore, maybe the previous owner didn't have such a great mazel, and his animals become mu'uds. I have better mazel, Baruch Hashem, and my animal will not be a mu'ud. Another pshat, Chazanish suggests this pshat, interesting pshat. He says an animal becomes a mu'ud, but when an animal becomes a mu'ud, there's like an expiration date to that status. The expiration date is as long as the owner that it became a mu'ud under his jurisdiction remains the owner. But if that ownership should expire, the fact that it's a mu'ud also expires. And that's why it's only a mu'ud until the ownership doesn't change. But there's an interesting question that the Brisker Rav asks on this concept of Rishus Mishana. He reminds us of a machlokes that we've learned many times. The machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. How do we view the relationship between a mazik and a nizik? Rabbi Shmuel views the relationship as a bal chayv. The mazik owes the nizik whatever damages he owes him. Rabbi Kiva holds it's a relationship of a partner. The nizik becomes the mazik's partner in the animal that did damage. So ask the Briska Rav, how, according to Rabbi Kiva, can an animal ever become a mu'ud? Every time the animal does damage, it gets a new owner. Who's the new owner? The nizik. So there's always Rishus Mishana. So if there's a new owner, and we follow the concept of Rishus Mishana, the animal always reverts back to being a tam. So how can an animal ever be a mu'ud? Briska Rav's kasha. So there are a number of answers given to his question. One answer is that the animal, that the case, the only case, it's a chiddush answer, because Avram says the steretz, that the only time it becomes a mu'id is if the animal did damage to animals that were hefker. Yes, if my animal did damage to someone else's, so every time it gets a new owner, the nizik. But if it did damage to hefker, hefker is nobody. And therefore, that's how the only time it can become a mu'id. It's a chiddush that that's the only case. Others say different teretz. What would be the halacha, which is normally the case, that the nizik indeed, according to Bekiva, becomes a partner, but what happens? The mazik gives the nizik whatever is his share, and now the mazik again is the sole owner of this animal. Say to Mefarshim, so it never left the control and ownership of the mazik. There was sort of a lien, sort of a partnership was more like a lien than a real ownership. And that's why it's not considered Rishus Mishana. And the third teretz is, what did we say is Rekiva's opinion? Rekiva's opinion is that the Nizik becomes the Mazik's partner. Sadie's Mefarshim, that when do we use the concept of Rishus Mishana? If the old owner is no longer the owner, and there's a completely new ownership. But if the old owner still has share, still has equity in this animal, that's not called Rishus Mishana. The mazik isn't completely out. The nizik is in. And therefore, that's not the case of Rishus Mishana. Tan Rabban says the Brayso Shor Cher Shoyt V'Katan Shenogach. Rav Yaakov Mishalem Chatzi Nezik. Ask the Gemara. Rav Yaakov Ma'evidite. What is Rav Yaakov saying? Mishalem Chatzi Nezik. El Eima. What we have to say is, Eima Rav Yaakov Omer Mishalem Chatzi Nezik. That an animal pays chatzin nezik. Ask him, what's Rabbi Yaakov saying? But my iskin, ibatam, if he's referring to a regular case of a tam, pshita. By the time we're learning that flamates on the sechta of a kamba, we know that a tam is mishalm chatzin nezik. We don't need Rabbi Yaakov. Furthermore, says Taisus, even we're going to say that what Rabbi Yaakov means to say is that maminim apotropis to pay l'shalom mitam. So we should just say that. But what does he have to say chatzin nezik? Once we know that he has the din of apotropis and a tam, it's obvious that what do you pay by a tam? Chatzin nezik. Viva mu'ud. If you're going to say that the animal Rav Yaakov is discussing is a mu'ud, let's think about it. Idil avdalei shmira, if the owner watched it properly, then the halach is klal klaloi by lishlumi. He doesn't have to pay anything. And if, on the other hand, Deloy Avdele Shmira, that he didn't properly watch it, then Kuli Nezik by Shlumei. So what's Rabbi Yaakov saying? Omer Rava, says Rava, Lo'olam B'mu'ud. Rabbi Yaakov is referring to animal that is a mu'ud. However, V'achav Ma'iskinen, what is the situation under discussion? The Avdi Shmira P'chusa, V'loy Avdele Shmira Ma'ula. That he only did a minimal type of watching, but not a really full watch. Rav Yaakov, Savalak Rav Yehuda, Rav Yaakov concurs with the opinion of Rav Yehuda, Domet Sad Tamas, B'mekayim HaMedes, V'Savalak Rav Yehuda, Domet Mu'ud Sagla B'mechitza, B'shir B'chusa. And V'Savalak, Rabbon and Daminim, Apotropis, L'tam, Ligvis Megufay. Let's explain what we just said. We said a mouthful. There are a number of opinions coming together. One opinion, as hard as it is to understand, and we're going to discuss this more on Daf Mem Hei. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a tam requires a shmira meula, a full shmira, a mura shmira b'chus is enough. One. Two. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is tzad tamas m'kayma medes, which means as follows. How do you view an animal that became a mu'ud? Do we view it? There's an animal which is a tam, pays chatzin nezek. There's an animal that's a mu'ud, pays nezek shalom. Or do we view every mu'ud as a tam plus? Rabbi Yehuda holds, sad tamus b'mekayimai medes. That remains. And therefore, an animal that becomes a mu'ud is a tam plus. And thirdly, Rabbi Yaakov's opinion is that mamidim apotropis ligvis latam. So what happened here we had is, this animal is owned by Yisayim. We appointed apotropis. It became a mu'ud. It is a mu'ud. You made a shmir p'chusa, but not a shmir mu'ula. So for the mu'ud portion, you don't have to pay anything, because a shmir p'chusa is adequate. For the tam part, you have to pay chatzi nezek, and that chatzi nezek, since we appoint apotropis, is paid. That's what Rav Yaakov means. Amar Abaya v'loy pligi. So that means Rav Yaakov's entire opinion is based on Rav Yehuda's opinion. Ask the Gemara, do Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda not disagree? V'otanya asks Abaya. Just lost the place. V'loy pligi, v'otanya. Shor shalcher shayt v'kotten, shenogach, Rabbi Yehuda, Mechayev, Rabbi Yaakov, Aymer, Chatzin Nezekud Mishalom. Isn't this price indicating that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda disagree? So how are we saying that Rabbi Yaakov's entire opinion is built on Rabbi Yehuda's concepts? Says Amar Rabba Ula. It's not that they're arguing. Mash Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda says Yechayev. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say what Yechayev. Comes along, Pirush Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov is explaining what Rabbi Yehuda meant, that you only pay chatzin nezek, but you don't pay nezek shalom, because of the circumstances that we explained. Ask the Gemara, Abaya obviously holds that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing. Ul Abaya the Omer Pligi, that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing. Ask the Gemara, but my Pligi, what are they arguing about? Amalei Hachem Maiskinen, he'll say, Abaya will explain, we're referring here to Mu'ud V'Loinatri Klal. That a mu'ud that wasn't watched at all. Rav Yaakov sovel like Rabbi Yehuda b'chada, and Rav Yaakov agrees with one concept of Rabbi Yehuda, or polagle b'chada, but not in everything, explains the Gemara. Sovel like Rabbi Yehuda b'chada, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, the ila Rabbi Yehuda sovel, Rabbi Yehuda is the man d'amah that holds, tzad tams m'koyim ha-medes, that a mu'ud is a tam plus. However, or polagle b'chada, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Dealer Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Mamidam Lam Apotropis Latam, Ligvois Megufoi. So the animal that became a mu'ud, that's a tam plus, has to pay the tam portion, because Apotropis pays as a tam, and Apotropis certainly pays from a mu'ud. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yaakov Savar, Eimamadam, you don't appoint an Apotropis to pay Chatzi Nezek from a tam. And therefore, the half that you pay as a tam doesn't get paid here, because Apotropis Rabbi Yaakov holds, you don't pay. But the second half, the mu'ud portion, that everybody agrees Apotropis pays. V'lo mishalim el palga de mu'ud. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Rav Achbar Abaya l'Ravina. Bishlam l'Abaya, according to Abaya, Ravashim point out that Rav Acha, who was Abaya's son, was calling his father by his name. So some say Rav Achbar Abaya and Abaya that he was addressing weren't the same individual. Abaya was like Moshe. It was a very common name. Others say that if someone's father is a well-known Talmud Chacham, and when he's speaking about his father, he's allowed to use his name, otherwise nobody will know who he's talking about, and it's not a lack of covet. So Bishlam al Abaya, Dama Pligi, that they're arguing, Shapir. So Abaya just explained what the machloikus of Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda is all about. However, asked the Gemara, El Ravid Amaloi Pligi. According to Ravid, that was trying to explain that there is no machloikus between Rav Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda. And he explained it, and we're not going to review it, that it's referring to the Mu'ud, and it's all the concepts of Rabbi Yehuda coming together. Ask the Gemara, Adam Mukalab Mu'ud, of instead of explaining that's talking about a Mu'ud, why not explain that it's a Tam? So Rishayim asks, what's bothering him that he wants so much that the Machlokes should be with a Tam rather than it should be with a Mu'ud? So the Rishayim respond. First of all, every animal has to be a Tam before it's a Mu'ud. Number two, Tam is much more frequent than a Mu'ud. So it makes more sense that it should be talking about a Tam than a Mu'ud. And Nukmabim Tam, let's explain that it's talking about a Tam. E Leb Yehuda, if we follow the opinion of Yehuda, we spoke about this in the previous Amid. The Amalai Shmir Pchusa. This animal, only Shmir Pchusa was done, the Lo Avalai Shmir Me'ula. Or, according to Belaz Ben Yaakov, the Lo Avalai Shmir Klal. Because according to Belaz Ben Yaakov, the Tanya Belaz Ben Yaakov Omer, Echet Tam Vech Mu'ud, he doesn't differentiate between a Tam and a Mu'ud. He holds both of them, if Shamram Shmir Pchusa, Pturim. It's adequate. And what is Rabbi Yaakov teaching us? The Mamidim Amapatrepus Latam Ligvis Magufay. What Rabbi Yaakov, and according to Rava, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda are not arguing. It's a very simple case that we're talking that Yechayiv as a Tam. And the question, and they hold that we appoint an apotropos to pay that debt. Ask Tosfos, that's the way we began. And we didn't like that, Teretz. Because we said, if that's what Rabbi Yaakov meant, he wouldn't have to say Chatzi Nezek. He should have just said Chayiv. And we know that Tam is Chayiv Chatzi Nezek. So how did this Teretz, how did this problem go away? So Tosfos has a very nice Teretz. He says, before we had all the explanations that the Gemara attempted to give, not attempted, actually gave, if the Brice is talking about a regular case of Tam, it's obvious that a Tam pays Chatzi Nezek. But now that we had all these different explanations, so we need to be a little more explicit. And now we can understand why Rav Yaakov is explicit. So why not say that the Brice is just a very simple case? Answers the Gemara. Amalei, Hachi Kama. The Gemara preferred to give the Teretz that it's talking about a Mu'ud, and you're only paying on one part, not on the other part, because Chadadis by Tarte, Tama. Because this Teretz is a richer Teretz. What I mean, it's a richer Teretz. Like we explained it before, it has so many concepts involved. Satams b'mkayim ha'medes, mamidim apotropis, the halacha that a shmir p'chusa is adequate for a mu'ud and not for a tam. It's so rich in so many different halacha concepts. So yes, says the Gemara, if we wanted to keep life simple, we could have explained that Rav Yaakov Rav Yehuda, they're teaching us the halacha of mamidim apotropis. We really wanted to say a teretz that was a little more complicated because it gives us so many more halacha concepts. Says the Gemara, one more teretz. We're going back. Ravina, this is what the Rishonim explained, concurs with Abaya. That Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda are arguing. But Ravina has a different way of explaining their machlokes. Ravina Amar, Rishus Mishana Ikav Benayu. The machlokes of Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda is over the subject of Rishus Mishana. He's going to have a Mu'ud v'nispakach, or Cheresh v'nishtefo, a Shoyta Mu'ud, the animal became a Mu'ud, v'nispakach a Cheresh, v'nishtefo a Shoyta, v'gdol a Kotten. Yehuda Savarei b'chuskos, it's still treated as a Mu'ud. He doesn't subscribe to the concept of Rishus Mishana. Rav Yaakov saw Rishus Mishana, and since all these things happen, now it reverts back to being a Tam, and only Chatzin Nezek has to be paid. Thank you.